Hey there, and welcome to another episode of the Love Offering Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Adams, and today's guest is Amanda Schaefer. Amanda's on the show today talking about how a little cup goes a long way based on my devotional, A Little Goes a Long Way, 52 Days to a Significant Life. Today we're talking about the age-old question, is your cup half empty or half full? How would you answer that question today? But better yet, what is in your cup? Amanda from A Cup of Gratitude is on the show today, sharing how she takes the time to stop and see the good around her. She's reminding us to fill our cups with the living water Jesus provides and overflow as we pour out to the empty cups around us. Well, hi, Amanda, and welcome to the Love Offering Podcast. I'm so happy to have you as my guest.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to speak with you today.
Today's conversation is all about how a little cup goes a long way based on my devotional titled A Little Goes a Long Way, 52 Days to a Significant Life. And you have a podcast by the name of A Cup of Gratitude that I've actually had the opportunity to be a guest on. So as we begin, would you share the inspiration behind this ministry?
Yes. And first of all, let me just say, I love collaborating so much. And so it's wonderful to be on each other's shows and to get to know one another. I love how God uses those connections, those kingdom connections, to show the world that we're really for each other and that our personal callings are personal and very, very inspired by what God has for us. So what happened was I thought I was following my purpose and my calling. I had written a couple of books. I was beginning to speak and really hitting what I thought was my stride. And God interrupted me when I was praying one day, and he told me it was time to start preparing to care for my parents. Well, about 20 years ago, we said, yes, we would help you when the time comes. They lived in a 1600s farmhouse, and they had to build an addition on. It was not conducive to old folks. It's all stone and wood and curvy stairs. But we made that commitment. I said, whatever people in my family are with me will come and we'll help you. I had worked in elder care ministry. It was all set, right? And so I thought they were okay, but God was definitely saying, prepare. I had my son and my parents both pray. They all heard prepare. So we did. And what happened was about 5 months into the preparation, which that could be a whole podcast in itself of how we had to empty their top floor that they had filled up with good things that they wanted to keep. But after we started, my dad had some falls and he was okay, but we had to transition him to a walker. And at that point, we felt we needed to get bedrooms in there right away to keep them safe. Well, we did that. And about a week later, the pandemic hit. We were on lockdown, everything changed, no church, no speaking events, no book signings, no nothing, just here taking care of my parents in an old farmhouse in the middle of nowhere. And I cried out to God one day and I said, you know, you made me so outgoing in Christ. And all I ever want to do is share about you and your love and your goodness. And I'm not sharing the gospel and I don't feel right. And I kind of heard him say, there are a lot of different ways to tell a story. And the next thing I knew, I was buying a microphone online and converting an old closet into a podcast booth. And I started, I just said, I just want to share you. And so this concept of, in the middle of a pandemic, when everyone was dealing with difficulties, that there are good things because God is with us, that's what I wanted to share. And so every story I get to share, I share his story, but I also get to share your story and, or whoever else is coming on, and I get to link arms with them and encourage them and uplift them. But I get to share the fact that even in the midst of the worst difficulty, there is good.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that God is always preparing us, you know, like in such a beautiful way. You were just obedient and you had no idea what God had in store for you and your family, and how you were in the exact right place at the exact right time that your family needed you. And I think that that's just so beautiful and such a testament to your story. And I think that that's so beautiful. And I know we'll get more into that as we continue to talk. But on your podcast, you often ask your guests, what is in your cup? And so from the other side of the mic, which I think is so fun as a podcaster, Amanda, what is in your cup today?
Well, first of all, that's a great question. And I do ask people that. So it's very fair to be asked myself. I would say today, I think my cup is filled with contentment. I've been thinking a lot about what and how God provides for us. You know, his very presence brings with him everything that we need, but we tend to get dissatisfied. And it's that we want more or something new, or maybe we're bored and we start to complain, maybe not out loud, maybe just in our heart. I think everyone does that all throughout the Bible. They do that. And what I'm doing is being intentional to be grateful for what I have right now and to enjoy my blessings and to walk through my difficulties knowing that Jesus is enough. The Israelites, they grumbled in the desert. God gave them manna, bread from heaven, the perfect sustenance, and they still thought it wasn't good enough. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. They got water from a rock. They were never happy. They were bitter and complained and grumbled. And so I just think Jesus is the bread of life. And so if he's the bread of life in Christ, I should be satisfied. There's nothing missing. And so contentment's in my cup today because I've really been trying to be proactive about looking around and being thankful for what I have right now in this moment.
That really speaks to me. I think we are always looking for what else. We can get so bored, even if everything is good in our life. It's like, well, okay, well, what else do you have for me, God? I want something new. I want something exciting. I want something shiny. I want something better than what I already have, even though what we have can be good already. So I think
look,
I need to
do around. I mean, every 5 seconds, there's a new commercial. There's a new big thing. There's a new trend there. You know, people are trying to keep up with neighbors. The trend was these big mansion houses. And finally, now it's tiny houses, you know, but even so, somebody in a mansion, there's someone in a mansion out there. They're like, I need a tiny house. You know, we're just never happy.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, I'm just even thinking about like, we can have a full cup and then it's like, well, God, I want a bigger cup. now fill up that cup and now give me an even bigger cup and then fill up that cup. It's like, I want more and more and more. We are never satisfied.
Yeah. And I think that discontent is because we have this God-shaped void in us. And if we're not careful to be in his presence and have a constant filling, we feel empty. And we feel discontent.
You know, going back to the Israelites, I just was thinking about the manna and how God they had to go back every single day.
Yeah.
Right. It was like because it would almost rot if they tried to like fill up too much and like just get all go and collect all that they needed, you know, in that one day and then never go back again. We have to constantly go back daily to the source, right? We can't just.
And God created it, set it up that way that it would rot so that they would learn, hopefully, to keep coming to him and learn that every day I don't have to worry. It's going to be there. But, you know, sometimes we fail. He never does, though. And eventually we catch on and we can remind ourselves last time he did it, he's going to do it next time because he's always good.
You know, I don't know who to attribute this to. I think it was, and I've had her on my podcast, but Amy Seifer had mentioned this. And she says, when others bump into us, whatever is in our cup is going to spill out. And so we need to make sure that we're filling up with Jesus so that when they bump into our cup, that is what spills out, that it's Jesus. And so, you know, we mentioned like going and filling up with him. So what do you think that this looks like practically in our own lives?
Well, in my life, it means, you know, I care for elderly parents, right? So for me to have my time in this season with God, it's like when my kids were toddlers, I got to get up at 5 a.m. I've got to purposefully worship, journal, listen, read the word, ask him what he wants to talk about me with me today. What in my heart needs to be addressed, you know, have these intimate relationship times with him because you don't want to talk to me if I haven't talked to God first. And the kind of day I'm going to have, you know, and the kind of servant I'm going to be to my parents, you know, believe me, it's not easy taking care of your parents, even if everything was peachy keen. We have our dysfunctional things. Coming back here was a real decision. It was a real servant-hearted, yes, Lord, I'll do whatever you say. And it's tricky, but if I don't start off with him, you know, it's just a lost cause kind of before I even start. I can tell the difference. Something's not right. I'm not aligned. I'm grumbling, complaining immediately, you know, going to the things that we go to. But when I start off with him, it's so much better. And he always ministers to me when I look to him. You know, it's just this intention of your heart. I'm purposefully seeking you, Lord, first. And he ministers to your heart at that point. And I liken it to kenosis, right? Kenosis is, it's where I want to be full. And because I want to be full, I have to be open to receiving this abundant grace. So first I have to be emptied, right? To be full. And so a lot of us want to be full, but we don't want to be emptied first. And that's the part of it. He must increase and I must decrease. That's John 3:30. And Jesus did the same thing. It was one thing to define it and discuss it in a detached sort of way to keep it at a safe distance. But it's another thing altogether when God calls us to put it into practice. And he always calls us to put it into practice. So it's a voluntary self-emptying. It's a renunciation of my will in favor of God's will. And it's a life characterized by self-giving. So I surrender. I lay my stuff down. He comes in and overflows me with himself. And not only do I become filled with good things, but he makes me a conduit for him to overflow into the lives of other people around me, because that's how he is.
I love that. And you're right. It's more of him and less of us. And actually on Sunday, this past Sunday, our pastor was talking about how the very first thing that we read or look at, whether it's our phone and if it's like politics or entertainment or sports or whatever, or if it's our Bible, whatever we first pick up is probably what we're going to think about the rest of the day. And so if it is our Bible, there's a study, and I'll link it in the show notes. If it's our Bible that we pick up four times a week, it's amazing the decrease of certain behaviors that will happen as a result of that. And also on the flip side of that, it's amazing the increase of certain behaviors, positive behaviors that will increase as a result of that. And so I'll link that in the show notes as a result. And so there is a direct correlation of when we fill ourselves up with the Word of God and fill ourselves up with Jesus, the positive behaviors that will result, and also the decrease in the negative behaviors that will result. There is fruit that will result as a result of what we do in the self-control and discipline.
Absolutely. And again, there is that same theme of daily, continuously. Yes. It's not supposed to stop. When you stop, you know, the flow stops. Yes. And so if you are empty and he's filling you and you stop, then eventually it dries out again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a partnership. It's a relationship. Yeah. Yeah. And so, yes, he's obviously always there. And actually I'm trying to remember, and I might butcher this, but it was like our relationship with the Lord is up to us because he's always there. Right. And so where are we? And I think that the choice is up to us, how close we want to be to him.
That's right. That's right. I mean, if we're doing the analogy of using a cup, like, do we bring it to him or not? You don't bring it to him. Why would he fill it? And he could. Mm-hmm. But in relationship is when it happens. Like you said, it's in the being intimately close together, sitting with one another, you know. Yeah. Mary and Martha, where did Mary sit? Betcha she had a full cup.
Yes.
I bet you Martha's cup was pretty dry.
Yeah. Well, speaking of being dry, I think so many people are walking around feeling empty. I mean, honestly, even though we're talking about being at the feet of Jesus and going to him, just being fully transparent, I have many days when I feel really empty, and I'm a believer, and I have days that I'm like, what is wrong with me? I feel sad. And we all have those days. And so I don't want to just I don't want to give everybody the perception that we're superhuman, and but we do serve a supernatural God. So that's the key. But so we do all have those days, but we just know that we have the source. That's the key. We know where to go.
That's
so
right.
How do you suggest that we do pour into people that may be feeling very empty? How do we help fill them up?
My answer to that would be love. It would be godly, agape, 1 Corinthians 13, love. That's a sacrificial, compassionate love that so values the other person that we don't need to fulfill our own needs and our own agenda, but we overflow with what we've received because we do have that connection and that relationship, and we share that with others. Compassion is more than empathy. You are joining someone in their suffering. And that's what we've gotten. So that's what we need to share. And it also has like the component of Romans 12:18, that whatever you can do on your behalf to be at peace with everyone, that's what you do. You don't need to be right. You don't need to be heard. You look for what their need is. That's the kind of love we're talking about. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. We're talking about godly love. And I think a lot of times what we end up giving is people love. And they're not the same thing. And instead of needing to share our needs and our beliefs, I think we can start by coming alongside of other people in their need and giving them a place to exhale and just receive something good.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. That's interesting. I know of the different kinds of loves, like the phileo love and the agape love, like, but that you're right. There's a people love and there's a God love. And yep. The only way that we can give that God love, that unconditional love, is by receiving His love first.
And love is important to God. Like the two greatest commandments are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So love is important to God, but His love is what I like to call love in action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? No, that's so good. I mean, that's the whole basis of this podcast. So that's so beautiful. And I'm so glad that you brought that up. And, you know, I think the way, and you've even touched on this at the very beginning, and I think you've lived that with your life. And that's what you mentioned at the very beginning, is the way that Jesus sacrificed with His life. And so we talked about this in my devotion, and I write about it, about the Last Supper and communion, and how Jesus offered a cup to each of us. And He says, "Take this cup in remembrance of me." And it's this cup that I pray that we are most grateful for. And gratitude, as you mentioned, is really, really important to you. So how is taking the time to stop and see all the good things around you and then sharing them with others, how has this been helpful to you? And how can we learn to practice gratitude, even in the really small things, not just the big things?
Yeah, actually, it starts in the small things, I think. But I think first, you got to figure out what gratitude is. And for me, my definition of gratitude is it's my only proper response to God's grace. And I think the other thing is gratitude is a choice and it's a discipline. It has to be intentional. Doesn't always come easy, as a lot of things don't come easy, but you have to make good choices to create new habits and new neural networks in the brain. That's how God created our brain, right? You can choose a blessing or you can choose a curse. He created that whatever you keep choosing, that's the roadway you follow. So you can keep choosing gratitude intentionally. And as you do so, eventually you expect good things. It's really cool the way He made, you know, unfortunately it works conversely as well. You know, if you're bitter or angry, that's what you expect from the world. And that's what happens. But God says in His word that, you know, He is always giving us a choice. And I think like from the beginning, from Adam and Eve on, right, even the angels, He's always given choice. What He desires is true love back, true obedience, true service back to Him. He wants us to minister to Him out of what we want to do, not out of obligation. And so I think gratitude, sharing it's really wonderful, but I think we need to share it vulnerably. Like, so you might need to say, hey, this is what's happening in my life right now, but also this is good. this thing here is good, you know? And so I think sometimes people who have trouble, they're more open to receiving the thought you can be grateful if you're vulnerable, maybe with what you're actually going through and you're going to have a big mask on. I also think that I learned to choose gratitude in one of the most traumatic times of my life. That's when I learned to make it a choice. And God filled those, that was a really horrific time. He filled those days with goodness. He was with me, and that made all the difference in the world. I often tell people to be sure to start their day grateful. Okay, so I don't know if it's just me, but when you first wake up, before you're really with it, in your mind, you're grumbling. I don't want to get up. It's cold. I don't want to walk the dog. It's raining outside. It's just how we are, right? So instead, what I do now, and it took some practice, but what I do now is before my feet touch the floor, I sit up and I stop and I say, all right, wow, God, I'm grateful for you, my house, my family, you know, this bed that I'm sleeping in that I can see, whatever comes to you. They're not little things. Those are all gifts. They're all big things. And they're all blessings. And so you start firing up that neural network, right? And then I go and get my coffee. And at 5 a.m., that makes me grateful. So there's another thing. And before I know it, I'm looking for good things. It's really that simple. I also tell people to write good things down. I think it doesn't have to be a gratitude journal. It can just be a piece of paper. It can be a journal. Whatever makes you comfortable, do it on your tablet, whatever you do, text it to yourself, but write those things down, because when you're having a tough day, you can go back and look at what God did that day. And then you can remember who he is and you can start looking for good things again and fire back up that neural network, you know, because we all need to remember sometimes, because like you said, we all have those bad days. And I think that, I think it's a lot easier than we think, especially if you're out in creation. Oh my gosh, the things that he has made and the beauty that is out there in a fallen world. Can you imagine what it looked like before it fell? You know, so there's a lot there. It's all about, what am I choosing? I really think that's what it is.
I mean, I never thought about that. Can you imagine what the world looked like before it fell? That's a beautiful thought. Because you're right, we live in a fallen, sinful world, and it's still beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, breathtaking. So, gosh, you know, heaven is going to just
blow our socks off, isn't it?
It is.
Yes. So there is such a familiar question, I think, that maybe, you know, most of us should be familiar with, like, is your cup half empty or half full? Right? Mm-hmm. It's like this perspective question. So how do we keep a more positive outlook regardless of our circumstances? And you just gave us some really practical tools. So I'm really interested to hear your answer on this question.
Sure. Well, it's funny because the introduction to my podcast, I actually say, some people say their cup is half empty. Some say it's half full, but I'm asking you, what's in your cup? I think that even one drop of gratitude will affect you more than a full cup of anything else. I think that positive outlook, like I said, it's this choice, and it's one intentional moment at a time. You know, some people struggle with depression. Some people struggle with their anger. Some people are struggling in sin. Whatever the thing is you're struggling with is one moment at a time, but look and you'll see it. And I think that when we look around and we're able to see, okay, yeah, this circumstance isn't so great, or this is really heavy, or I don't know how I'm going to make it. And we find that good thing, it sustains us. It does something. God's doing something in thankfulness and gratitude that I don't think we fully understand. And I think that once we start, again, that neural network fires up and we're like, oh, suddenly we're more able to see the next thing. And I'm grateful for gratitude, and that might sound silly, but like, God invented it and we need it, and that's why it exists. So I'm so grateful that I can actually appreciate what he's given me and who I am and where I am. I did nothing to be born who I am in the country I am in the time period I am. It's all for a purpose. I don't have talents because I gave them to myself. You know, I don't have even passions because I gave them to myself. The ministry I have is his beautiful masterpiece of taking all of the sharp shards of things and all of the beautiful things he had for me in the beginning and putting it all together somehow and making something good.
Do you find it, because it is becomes a practice, and the more that you are intentional and you start to be a noticer of the little things and you start to write them down, the easier it gets to then notice it the next day. Mm-hmm. And you almost get excited and more hopeful, and it just, it does get easier the more you practice it. And then the more you surround yourself with people like you, it becomes contagious. Yes. And then they become noticers, and then it just builds on itself. It becomes the snowball effect in so many ways, don't you think?
Yeah. Well, everything that God does multiplies. Yeah. The world adds or subtracts, but God multiplies things. And I think that's a good description of what you're talking about. You know, mm-hmm. He takes something that's the essence of who he is and he puts it in us. And if we choose it, it multiplies, and it's contagious.
Yeah. Well, yeah, your gratitude has been contagious. And so I am transitioning a little bit because our conversation's been so positive. And so I even hate to transition, but I think that this is really important. So when Jesus was about to be crucified, he said, "Take this cup from me," because I want to be cognizant that there is somebody listening that is going through a really hard season. We are all going to go through really hard seasons. So, I mean, has there ever been a season in your life that you prayed, "God, would you take this cup from me," but that you surrendered to his will instead? I think we've all been there. And I'm sure there's somebody there listening right now that's like, "Lord, I don't want this cup, but I know you've given it to me. And I'm going to surrender to it right now in this season."
Yeah, I've actually had several seasons like that. But the one that popped in my mind first was the time when I first learned to choose gratitude, right? So my husband and I had been married before I came to Christ. I came to Christ, and about a week later, my husband started showing signs of being bipolar. He started self-medicating, eventually became a pretty horrible alcoholic. He's now my ex-husband, but that didn't happen when I wanted. I was ready to be done. I just wanted out immediately. It was so hard. I had young kids. It was something that I don't even know how to put into words, but over and over again, God asked me to trust the process and that he had a plan. And as I look back over it now, he was working. He was strengthening my faith and my trust. Like, I was a baby Christian, and those fires of affliction, that is what strengthened me. I have children who we've chosen to be the sober person in the room. We don't have to. We're the sober people in the room. We've chosen sober lives so that we can show people that the joy of the Lord is enough, and that if someone needs help, we're here for them. He was trying to work with my ex-husband as well. And he got to choose whether he wanted to choose God or not, and he did not. And honestly, my daughter has become a psychotherapist. She helps people with trauma and addiction. She and her husband both have their own practices. They employ other people. They help thousands of people. They're getting their doctorates. They're doing amazing things for the mental health field and for the addiction and trauma that people are going through. That came out of that, and kind of had to experience it to be able to have the heart to want to help. And I love how God does take the difficult and use it. And we don't want to go through it. Honestly, God took what the enemy meant for evil and he worked it for good. And had I done things my own way, who knows what the outcome would have been. But yeah. I now know that I learned to depend on God first, not to go to people, to trust him deeply, no matter what. And I think these lessons can only be learned in these crushing and pressing places. And Jesus was pressed and he was crushed in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's where they pressed and crushed the olives. And that's the only way the oil flows.
And he says, it's not what you would will, not what I will, but what you would will. And that's such a hard place to be, but that is that surrender. And so as we start to come to a close, I would love to hear, how has a little cup gone a long way in your own life? This is a question I'm asking and tailoring to each of my guests.
Yeah, and I love that question. I really had to think about it. And so my answer is, I think the fact that I go to God daily, and it's funny, we brought this up in the beginning and it was not my intention, but this is definitely shows God's part of this conversation. When I go to God daily to refill a little cup, instead of trying to exist from the leftovers of the day before, it brings the realization that I'm with the great I am. He's providing for me daily, and we're in this together. It is my 24-hour little cup, the minute-by-minute constant filling that I am sustained by until I'm with him in eternity. And the present, not the past or the future, I think that's where we're truly alive, right? You know, that's where we're truly alive. I think it's one of the reasons why he's I am, not just he is that he is, that he's always been, but he's in this moment with us. And that's when we're alive with him. So I think today is a new day and a fresh start and a chance to begin again. And, you know, it's a gift that keeps giving when my focus stays where it's meant to be. And my little cup never gets empty. Much better than a giant cup filled only once that eventually becomes dry. So God's constantly living water. He's constantly filling as long as I keep choosing to give him my cup. It's the right now. It's the right this minute while this person's listening to us talk that God is present and giving us hope for the next second, the next moment, the next hour, the next day.
Yeah. So yeah, sorry. And I just cut you off and I'm like, what a beautiful way to wrap it up. What a beautiful way. And it's, and you know, you're right. You perfectly tied up everything that we just talked about. And I'm so grateful for you and your ministry. And you have certainly filled up my cup. And I know I want to stay connected with you. I'm sure listeners are going to want to stay connected with you. And so tell us how we can best do that.
Well, it's pretty easy. Everything's a cup of gratitude. You can go to Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Believe it or not, really never thought I would ever be on TikTok, but God said, go there, go anywhere. Someone might be looking to hear from me. I also have a website, which I'm sure you'll put in your show notes, which is also a cup of gratitude. So I like having the same name so that people remember, maybe they should fill their cup with good things too.
Well, thank you, Amanda. My cup is full, and I pray that everybody listening, their cup is full. Go fill up your cup today with Jesus, the living water, everyone, and go fill up everybody else's cup as well. So, Amanda, thank you so much for joining us today, and everyone, thank you so much for listening. Everybody have a great day. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode with Amanda Schaefer. We hope that today helped to encourage you to believe that a little cup goes a long way. This week, your little task is to offer a cup of coffee, tea, or lemonade to those God reveals to you who might be in need of refreshment. Pray it opens the door, not just for physical refreshment, but for emotional and spiritual refreshment as well. Speaking of cups, you will not want to miss this opportunity to go to rachelkadams.com and get your own A Little Goes a Long Way mug. This mug is the perfect size, and it's such a sweet reminder to allow God to fill up your cup first, because you can't pour from an empty cup. So you can pick up one of these mugs at rachelkadams.com/shop, along with other significant merchandise. Also on rachelkadams.com, you can sign up to receive your weekly Love Offering newsletter, and all of this information can go straight to your inbox. You can also listen to previous podcast episodes, you can read the blog series, you can download free resources like the Conversation Guide, Guided Journal, and the List Tracker, and you can learn to leave a review if you have not done so yet. I would so appreciate if you would take the time to do that, just so more women can find and hear this Love Offering message. Next week, my guest is Nicole Suvar. She's on the show talking about how a little number goes a long way. I can't wait to chat with you again then, but until then, I hope you have a terrific week. And as always, remember to lead with love.